Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us run some people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. We're warriors of calling, there's a resurrection coming.
We are here to come back into alignment with the Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. The Creator is the universe. The universe is the Creator. So we don't put a gender on that. We just recognize the energy for what it is. And tonight, my guest is going to bring together the esoteric viewpoint of what we see going on this earth plane. And and more, because so many of us are caught up in the mainstream media interpretation of things going on, and we kind of get lost up in the propaganda and the fear mongering. So that's why Corey Daniel shows up. He and his partner, Alicia, are going to bring us into a higher truth tonight. So I'm so grateful to have Corey back. Corey, you are live in the Soul Purpose Healing StreamYard video. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing this evening?
I am great. It's been a while. Corey was a guest several years back, and thanks to, I would say thanks to the Holy Spirit bringing you back to Mama AZ's location. You guys just follow her around, right? And you meet up with her, and then she says, okay, time for you to connect to Corey again. So here we are again.
Yeah, Alicia was in the Tucson area today and paid her a visit, so nice.
Yes.
And we stay in contact with her.
Yes.
Hey, Mama AZ.
She is in the studio, so she can hear you. So, Corey, it's been a while since our viewers met you. So why don't you give us a little of your history, where you were born and all that, and then we'll get into the big truth of things going on in our current events these days.
Sure. My name's Corey. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I was born and raised in the North Valley. Moved out to the desert when I was 18, cowboyed for a while out there. I was fortunate that my father owned some gas stations, and we weren't rich by any means, but we were somewhere in middle class, and he wanted to run out to the desert. So if you don't know, Wikiup's a little town of about 300 people halfway between Phoenix and Vegas. Like, no one wanted to go manage that station.
Yeah.
And my interest always included the desert, backpacking, hiking, hunting, just getting away as far away from people as I possibly could. I had an interest in the occult and sciences from a very young age, even though I didn't understand the word occult. I was interested in witchcraft and magic and botany, especially botany. That
really?
Was, from the age of about 9, I had a garden, herb garden on the side of the house, and just planted it and just dug and started planting seeds over. My mom asked me what I was doing. I thought, I have a garden. So she encouraged it. And I mowed lawns in the valley. And, one of my clients was an older lady. Her husband died, and I continued to mow her lawn. And without pay, because she's a widow, you don't take money from widows, help them run the neighborhood. And she took me in on the weekends and taught me infusions and decosions and salves and poultices and planting with the moon phases, cutting artichokes when the water's down, stuff I recognize now as the solid kitchen witch. She was a kitchen witch for sure, but she was an English lady from England. She had lavender gardens and sage gardens and that kind of stuff. Moving forward, I was very interested in the Sonoran Desert and Arizona history, Arizona Native American cultures, and I realized that, the natives here had to use plants, and I started finding everything I could on that subject and eventually found the word I was looking for called ethnobotany. And ethnobotany is the study of the relationship between people and plants for edible, medicinal, utilitarian, and spiritual purposes.
Wow.
I began collecting info on that and studying on my own. Like I said, I cowboyed. I ran with Indians and Mexicans for a while and learned Native American, some Native American plant usages, but primarily with the Mexican curanderos in my part of the state I had access to. And then just went on studying on my own. I am an occultist. I study the occult, or what you would know as hidden knowledge. Before Christians get all upset and go wonky on me, please understand and know that occulted knowledge means hidden knowledge, and it is the knowledge of the upper class or the elite back in the ancient days of Samaria into Egypt, Egypt into Greece, Greece to Rome, Rome to London, London to United States of America. That's the progression of Western civilization. Within those civilizations, there are systems for transferring that knowledge from generation to generation family to family, and those are the institutions of, back in the day, they were monarchy and the priest class, right? The priest class held all that knowledge. It eventually began in Greece to manifest, and they began to divert that knowledge into the legal system or the system of law. They get into the academia, right? Into academia, into medicine. That's why Latin, which is a dead language, is a magical language. And they say, oh, it's a dead language. Well, you know, when you have medicine and you have the legal system and you have academia all using a dead language, well, there's a three pillars underpinning our civilization. There's something there, you know, when the Pope gets up there and speaks in a magical language with his magical staff and his magic hat and his magic incense saying the magic words, you know, very much difference between a wizard and the Pope at that point, if you know what you're looking for and you understand how this knowledge progressed through history. That's what I do. My wheelhouse is tying that knowledge in with modern day current events and de-occulting it, breaking it down for people who don't know what the heck they're even looking at, and waking them up. So that's me in a nutshell.
Wow. You know, and these days, when you look at the events just in this week, there was a lot of activity in UK, England, with the Queen. And I was asking you about Purple Rain, and someone was actually breaking down Prince's song, like we mentioned, Purple Rain. We think, yeah, a prince, he made this great song. But someone actually broke that down in terms of the numbers and 1984, George Orwell, and how Prince sang that song. That song came out in 1984, and all of that he tied to the Queen's inauguration this week on June 3rd. So, yeah, there's so much occult knowledge or occult out there that we need to be aware of if we understand what people are doing, what these elite are doing. So
Also, there's occulted scripting. Yeah,
yes.
You're right. There's occulted scripting. The Uvalde shooting is occulted scripting. It was a ritual, in my opinion, that was pulled off. Did you notice that it started with the Brooklyn shooting, and then it went into the Uvalde shooting, and then it just, now we have shootings, I'm getting texts about shootings every single day. There's a few things that will pull the emotional threads of Americans, and one of them is their children dying. Anything with children sacrifice, children trafficking, child sex trafficking, or the murder of children. We have an innate instinct to protect children, male or female for the most part. Even child predators believe on some twisted level that they are protecting the children. If you hear the breakdowns of their conversations with law enforcement and psychiatrists, they believe that they are saving the children from something else and initiating them into the world in their own twisted way. But in my opinion, it is an absolute psyop. It is used, it's as cliche as this sounds. It is twofold. There's two trends, and I've been covering this on my channel heavily for the last year and a half, 2 years actually now, the agenda that is being perpetrated by our government in order to divide and conquer the American people. They're always dividing and conquering, always. That's the MO. That's, you divide and you conquer. Black versus white, black versus Hispanic, Hispanic versus white, patriots versus cowboys, good versus evil, right? Russia versus, yeah, there's always a polarity. There's never, have you ever noticed that all of our sports have two teams?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't have any sports that foundationally have four, five, six teams. We have two, and only two. Well, there were lots of games in the history of the world where you had four, five, six teams or players. It wasn't just two against each other. And you ask yourself, why is that? Why on Star Wars is the Jedi and the Sith? Why on the old cowboy movies is the cowboy and the Indian? So the good cowboy with the white hat and the bad cowboy with the black hat, right?
Right.
Good and bad.
Right.
Why? Well, the human brain thinks in polarity. You innately think in contrast. You know what up is because there's down. You know what hot is because there's cold. If there is no cold and only hot, hot doesn't have a definition because there's nothing to contrast it with, right? So when you look at Republican and Democrat, conservative and liberal, you're getting into the natural polarity of where your brain, the grooves your brain thinks of. Okay, this gets into occulted knowledge. There are people, there are mind slayers and mind masters who work for these agencies, these institutions that you all pay with your government dollars, that learn how to break down your psyche and feed you propaganda and pull your strings emotionally one way or the other way. That's what all this is about in the very end. The United States of America is being disassembled institution by institution. They're pitting everyone against each other. I, being an occultist, rather an expert on this subject, can see this stuff coming a mile away. But humans are emotional, and humans have history, and humans have baggage. And, you know, an inner city, you know, mother of color who lost their child to a gang shooting last week is going to look at the Uvalde massacre, the state-sponsored, government terrorist-sponsored shooting, as a gun killed all those kids, the same way a gun killed my kid. They're not going to look at it in the true light. It's going to be an emotional issue. It's not going to be an issue of let's break this down. 90 out of all the gun deaths in America annually, okay, 60 to 70% of them are all suicides. Those suicide gun deaths are in with all of the gun deaths, okay? So when you hear 23,000 people died of guns in America last year, 75% of them on average were suicides, okay?
Really?
Wipe those off the table. Oh, wow. Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. And these, someone might not like these figures, and I urge you, please, don't hate me here. This isn't hate talk or rhetoric or whatever. These are numbers.
And in other words, please don't shoot the messenger. Thank you.
That's right.
75% were suicides?
It's somewhere in there. It fluctuates from like 60 to like 80, 75,
wow.
right in there. There's a book called More Guns, Less Crime.
Okay.
It's updated every 2 years with federal statistics and international statistics. And they break down gun deaths to battery deaths to stabbing deaths by race, by age, by demographics, by location, by time of year, by nation, and by severity. It's a very interesting book. What you'll find is that other roughly 25-30% of all shootings, the vast majority of them were people are cops shooting people in the line of duty, or cops being killed themselves. And then you got people defending themselves from criminals. That's another chunk of it in there. You get down to about, you know, 5 or 6%, and that is the criminals killing other people. But 9 times out of 10, the United States of America, when a gun is pulled, it's pulled in self-defense, and no shot is fired. So the gun is used to deter and stop a crime, but no shot is fired, and a crime is not committed because of gun presence. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. And when you do break it, and this has to be said, because you have to identify the problem in order to confront it and stop the horror. The vast majority of the shootings that do take place, either from gangs or people murdering each other, are males between the ages of roughly like 18 and 35, and they're of, unfortunately, African-American color, and they're in Democrat-run stronghold cities, be it New Orleans, D.C., Chicago. That infuriates a lot of people, and I don't care. But if we want kids of any color, and I don't care what color people are, to stop getting hurt, to stop getting shot, we need to identify it so we can solve it, because anyone dying is senseless. And that's not a slight on any color or anything. Every demographic has its own challenges and problems. But there are reasons why that's going on, and people in South Chicago, my friends, they'll tell you, you know, and people know. But so you got all these issues going on here, and Uvalde comes up, and it's, we got to take away the AK-47 assault rifle. Well, 5% of all shootings in America, all combined. So it's, you know, but that's not the story they sell. That's not how they couch it. That's not the propaganda that's being wrapped in and sold to you, because there is an agenda. And then when you find out that the definition of mass shooting, right, mass shooting, there have been, 200 mass shootings this year already. Well, a mass shooting is any shooting where three or more people get shot.
Oh.
That's the definition of mass shooting. It used to be a mass shooting was an undefined term that discussed, you know, like a guy in a tower at, you know, Texas, you know, state shooting people, or Columbine High School, or Uvalde, or the government-sponsored shooting at Sandy Hook. Okay, those are mass shootings, right? But no, it's three or more people getting shot is now a mass shooting. And why? Because they need, because that's such a good buzzword. It terrifies people that they want to bump those numbers up. You know, same with the COVID. You go through all the COVID info that you want, and they were vaccinating the elderly, right? And the elderly were, that if they were going to die from the shot, they died within 14 days of getting the COVID shot. So they didn't want deaths from COVID shots on the book. So they said, okay, if you die within 14 days after getting the COVID shot, you're no longer, we're going to consider that unvaccinated. We now got to wait 15 days post-vaccination to call you vaccinated. That way they take all the people that are dying from COVID shots, right, from the reaction of the spike protein, and ship them to another category, which is unvaccinated. And that just bolsters their argument by, you know, as Benjamin Franklin said, there's three kinds of lies: lies, damn lies, and statistics, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Corey, you bring up an excellent point. When it comes to their method of operation, the problem, reaction, solution, they're confusing what the problem is. So the public and society is looking at first stage of their operation, the problem, right? And they're confusing the hell out of people as to what the problem is, because we know that, as you said, this is all planned. And where people are thinking the problem is the gun, then that's where the reaction part is going to be more important, to realize, okay, you don't have to be in fear, but you do have to be in fear, because the problem is that gun. And really, we know the problem here is the government. That's the problem to me, right? It's like crazy, crazy.
You leave folks alone, and I don't care what color they are. I don't care where. They usually get along pretty darn well. You leave people alone, and they will get along really well. I always have. Where anywhere I've lived in the country, we had homosexual people living out there. No one cared. We had blacks. We had Mexicans. We had Indians. No one cared. You know, in the city, no one really cares. It's being made more of a deal, and everyone's a victim these days. And you know, when you break people down into subgroups, further and further subgroups, you can always continue to break them down, right? I'm white, but I'm Irish French white. But I'm Irish French white who identifies as heterosexual. Well, I'm Irish French white who identifies as heterosexual and conservative. Well, I'm, you know, rightly, you know, whatever. And you can keep breaking that down. And then everyone, people like to be victims because it absolves them from responsibility. If you categorize, and that's why I like when people say, I'm a survivor, I'm not a victim. Victims give away their agency. They give away their personal agency, and respond with that comes from responsibility. And when you do that, you are just a victim again. You're always a victim when you're a victim. That victim mentality is rampant in our society now. You know, whether, I don't care what the issue is, everyone, did you hear the paper yesterday? No, this morning, me and my gal were out watching, we chickens, and we let them get out in the pond out there, and we kind of have coffee every morning. We go through some of the news, right?
Nice.
And I want to say it's Chicago or New York. They just introduced a law into legislation, I think, yesterday or Friday. You're not going to believe this. This is, it may be sick, that children of African-American children were going to start with a higher grade, or they're not going to get zero, regardless of the work they turn in or the attendance that they're at school. They're automatically going to get higher grades, and none of them are going to fail to push them through. Regardless of if they turn in work or not, I'm not making this up. And which is absolutely a racist bill. And it says to the African-American community, you know, you guys aren't able to produce at the level that other people can, which is absolute horseshit, you know. They can, but it's just pandering, contributing to this victim mentality, and it's absolutely sickening. It's absolutely sickening. But if you search, you'll find that. I found it this morning. I think I sent it to my – oh, here. It's my girl here this morning. But, yeah, that kind of stuff just that kind of stuff just infuriates me. It truly does. You know, there's no call for it.
But when we look at the problem reaction solution MO, that makes perfect sense, because the reaction is where they really rev this thing up when they create the right problem. If you don't create the right problem, that will bring the reaction of fear and division. Then this is brilliant. You know, you got to realize this is brilliant thinking on their part to plan such a crazy system of division. And like you said, breaking down the American system, which is not so bad. You know, when I think they're trying to break down the United States, on some level, we need to topple this government. We need to topple the medical system. We need to get rid of the education system. But the way they're going about this is questionable, right?
So what you're talking about is called the Hegelian dialectic.
Thank you.
Which is known as problem-reaction-solution.
Hegelian.
And it's exactly what they're doing. A house divided cannot stand.
Right.
You know, that's always been said in antiquity. Shakespeare had, you know, entire plays devoted to this, right?
And how old is that Hegelian dialect, do you know?
The Hegelian dialect, I believe that goes back to Greek, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I mean, let me double check here. I don't know the...
Yeah, because I keep forgetting the name of this method of operation, problem, reaction, solution, but I knew it was some theory or principle or a process that is older than dirt. You know, it's like they've been using this same system over and over again, and people still don't get it. You know, it's like when this Uvalde thing happened, when this Buffalo thing happened, that was my first thought, Corey, was, okay, problem, reaction, solution. Let's see what the reaction is going to be and what the solution is going to be. And, of course, the solution is nobody needs to have a gun, because these guns are killing people, not the system of Hegelian dialect that's dividing and so forth. But the whole thing has been planned, and people keep falling for it over and over again. That's why you're here, to help wake some of us up that this is old, and we stop reacting but have a response to this.
You know, that's very – very well said. To respond is positive, to react negative. When you see the news, you need to, first of all, you need to understand one thing about the news. Everything, and I mean everything, maybe except for your local news, right? If your local newscaster in your small town comes on and covers the cat in the tree, okay, that probably happened, right?
Yeah.
Everything, you know, on the news is designed to move you in one way or another. You know, things that are free in this world aren't free. When something is free, you are the product.
Yeah.
Never forget that.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's welfare. I don't care if it's a free snow cone, you know, from 7-Eleven or whatever it is. Even the news. Why would the news put a product out there, all that time and energy, and give it to you the best they possibly could for community? No. It's because, A, they're making money on advertising dollars, but more importantly, the real reason is they are being utilized by, let's just say, the elite, right, the institutions of mind control, to tell you what to think and what to be afraid of, and what is cool, and what concert to go to, and what music is hip, and, you know, what's acceptable and what's not. The social norms, the social conditioning. I had a friend, and his brother worked for the CIA, and he came to a Thanksgiving dinner, and I got to go over there one time, and I said, "You're in the CIA, huh?" I said, "What can you tell me?" I said, "You know, you know what I write about? He said, yeah, I can't tell you shit, Corey, because you're going to blab your mouth because you're a YouTube broadcaster. And before my YouTube channel got yanked. I used to have 62,000 subscribers, right? 62,000 people watched my show, but they took it. And he said, I'll tell you one thing. Do you have a TV? And I said, no, I don't watch television. I've never purchased a TV in my entire life. My dad gave me one when I moved out. It broke. I never watched TV. He said, good. No one in the CAA watches television. We know all of it.
Wow.
All of it. He said, I don't care if you're watching the Disney Channel, which is programming for children, right? It's just predictive. It is absolute social conditioning and programming for children, whether the news is propaganda or you're watching the History Channel or the Animal Channel, right? Your brain's a hard drive, okay? And yes, it's really cool to understand the bung beetles of sub-Sahara Africa. It's neat trivia, whatever. It's not relevant information to your survival or your governance of your nation or keeping your family secure and safe in your world. We need an extremely lavish, decadent, comfortable, safe life in the United States of America. I've been out of country. I lived in Guatemala, a third nation, for a little bit. Okay, my ex-wife is, she's a Guatemalteca, right? She's a Guatemalan. So I lived down there. And my ex-girlfriend, she's a Guyanese, you know, and she taught me all about what a Guyana. It's very, very nice down there.
Guyana.
But, but we have it very easy here, and people don't know what true suffering is. And I hear these women's lib rights get up there, oh, women are so downtrodden in America. They say, go to Guatemala, where they're the highest female matricide rate on earth. They kill more of the women in Guatemala than any other nation, including Islamic nations. Go down there, where female life, where the goddess energy is completely lacking in any respect for it, and they kill them all.
Okay, hold that thought. Wow. We're going to get into this documentary called What is a Woman? How about that? Talk about propaganda and the agenda that's going on in this country about what is a woman. This documentary out there is like blue. Just watching the trailer, I was like, what? It's crazy. But we got to go to a commercial break. And we'll be right back. Don't stick and stay, everybody. There's more truth and juice to come because we all need to wake the F up at this point because it's not going to get any better. The problem reaction solution game is going to get heated up, I'm sure. So Naima Latif is going to give us play some commercials for us. We'll be back. Is Alicia coming on tonight or is it all Corey?
I can have. I don't think she didn't prepare. She didn't get ready.
Oh, that's
here.
Okay. I just love that woman.
Okay.
Mama AZ loved her. So, Naima, go ahead with
I'll
the commercials.
Come on.
Go ahead with the commercials, Naima. We'll be right back. Okay.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Uh-huh. Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
In the studio, and if you have a comment here on Facebook Live, just write your comment in and I'll try and read it and post it on the screen. We are really honored to have Corey Daniel. Do you have an S at the end of your last name?
No, ma'am.
Daniel. So Mom AZ and I were talking about that earlier. Was it Daniel? I said, I think it's just Daniel. So we're honored to have Corey.
The book of Daniel.
Yeah.
Of Daniel.
In fact, when I made the flyer up, I realized Daniel was kind of standing out all by himself, and I thought, ooh, that must be significant, and all the purple and all that. But we're honored to have Corey here, who is really giving us a de-occulting, giving us the hidden knowledge that we all need to be aware of going forward in 2022. Because the Hegelian dialect is strongly at work. And talk about free stuff. You had made a comment about free stuff. One of the biggest con jobs has been over the last 2 years, everybody got free injections in their body. What the hell? Was that not one of the biggest con free things that we were like bamboozled with? Oh, don't worry, just line up and we'll put it right in your body. What do you have to say about that one, Corey?
I call it a eugenics program.
I call it depopulation.
I call it a program to cull the herd. I have chickens. I have farm animals. Anyone else, I'm sure many of your listeners do too. Anyone who manages livestock knows there is management on the farm. And you weed out the weak and you weed out the disease. And you, when you have a rooster, a young rooster who defends the flock, it's going to keep them around. You don't need too many. You need one, right? When he gets too old to defend anymore, you get a new young rooster, and you quit feeding that rooster. Why do you keep feeding the rooster? Well, you're just costing you money. When you got laying hens, they come to, they start laying at 6 months and peak egg production about a year and a half year old. They'll lay for another about a year and a half, and they start decreasing. You put in some new laying hens, right? Unless your chickens are pets and you're not managing a farm. And it's called management. And this is what we do to eat, to consume in the three-dimensional world that we're in. There is resources and resource management, and there is scarcity in the world that we currently live in because we live in a banking system where, resources are managed. Even in nature, you have scarcity. You are seeing that with the human population. And this really turns people's stomachs, but you need to not look at that, this scenario, from our vantage point, from our viewpoint. We're decent human beings full of love and God's soul here, right? We're looking at people as equals and humans. The elite look at us as a managed herd, as labor, and nations as economies, and the resources therein as potential resources to move technology to the next age. There's people on different levels or different agendas. So you need to, if you want to know what's happening to you right now, you're subject to technology, to this scrying mirror, this mythical scrying mirror right now, right? That's what your cell phone is. It's a scrying mirror that tells you things, that tracks you, that that lets the demigods on Earth know your location and what you think and say. Even your eye flicker content, with the content that you're watching to the flicker rate to see what turns you on and what turns you off to advertise to you, and they amalgamate all that information to better track you. These are tracking tools for the herd, just so you know. It's not power. It's not empowering you at all.
Tracking tools for the herd. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you've been chipped willingly. I mean, this was Adolf Hitler's greatest dream, was a phone that people could carry around and put all their wants and desires and wishes and knowledge and opinions and feelings and plans into every day, that they can just, know exactly what you're going to do at any given time. But we are – my beautiful better half just showed up here. Let me see if I can get her on screen here for you.
Hi.
Hi there, Alicia. How are you?
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
You too. So how about all these tools for the herd?
it's funny. We give consent to them. We need our devices. They've made it so that you can't get into your bank account. They've made it so you can't do anything without having a second verification. It's your second form of ID. It's the way they track you. It's the way they control you. It's the way they control your access to things. And when you buy a new phone, you give consent to this every single time. When you put in your, when you make your, like my phone is, it's an Android. When you put in your original account, that your email that you want to use for your phone, you're giving consent. And then you have to fight with your phone. Every time they update it, you've got to go in and remove as many programs as there are that are tracking you. You've got to do it every time your phone updates. My phone just updated, so I have to go through my entire phone again and make sure that I have none of that stuff is turned on. And you can get information on YouTube, buy your phone, make, model, and year and all of that, and find the all the privacy things you need to turn off every time phone updates. Somebody has done one of these for each one of your telephones. So if you don't know where to look, you can type in privacy for and put in your phone right there, and somebody will come up with a video for you.
So you're saying we need to do some type of prevention for our privacy and protect ourselves, even though we do need these phones, but there are things you can do to limit the control that they have through the phone. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You don't. Every single one of your apps that you download does not need access to your microphone or camera, but automatically it gives it. There's a health screen in most of your telephones now that it can tell your health by looking at the pupils of your eyes. It can tell your heart rate. It can tell all kinds of things about you, and it's collecting data and sending it somewhere. It's nobody's business but your own. You can disable things like Google Assist. You don't want Google listening to you all day long. You want to turn off your Google Assist. My phone has a Bixby Assist on it, so I have to disable Google Assist and the Bixby because I don't want it listening to me. And somehow recently, my Google just got turned on again before my recent update, so I have to double check and make sure that's not turned on. You want to make sure that your phone isn't giving information on your map. For instance, there are about 9 security settings on your Google Maps that you want to turn off. It follows you everywhere, records everywhere you go, from the minute you get in your car until you get back home. Every stop you make, it records unless you tell not to. Somebody has access to that, and that's not safe for anybody, and it's nobody's business, again. So you need to check your Google Maps and make sure that that's not spying on you. You need to, if you have a web browser on your phone, you need to not be using Google. You probably shouldn't even be using Brave or DuckDuckGo at this point. You probably want to be using something like Tor browser. You have to really protect yourself. Same thing on your computer.
What's that again, Tor browser?
Tor, T-O-R. It's T-O-R. A purple onion.
Oh, browser. Yeah, because I was using GoDuckGo, and then I read something about they were just as compromised as Google.
That's because Google owns them now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of an intermediate to advanced lesson in phone security here I was giving you. A lot of people are not engaged in the activity that Alicia and I are engaged in at the level and depth. So it may or may not be as pertinent to you. You might not have people actively trying. The fact is, if you're online, you've gotten to me, you, Bill Gates, anyone. Maybe not Bill Gates, but relatively up high. You can get any.
Using Windows, you can.
That's right. Yeah. So it's a topic. But, you know, how bad do they want the information? You know, there's ways to secure your information and keep it off your desk. But anyway, that being said, the machine is in works right now because data is key. To know, like, I'm a 46-year-old white male. They have taken amalgamated all the data of males who live in my demographic in my area who are raised in the Phoenix area and had a similar life. They say, statistically speaking, I will 95% of the time have, you know, go buy this car, a Ford car or truck at this age because I'll you know, this amount of the time will have been this financially successful and we'll have the money to do so. And the ads that were targeted to me from the corporations who target that will be 75% successful. So I will 95% of the time buy a Ford truck at the age of 46 if I'm going to buy a truck. This is the level of knowledge they have, or where you're going to be if you haven't been there because of based on your Google Maps, like Alicia was just saying. This is extremely dangerous. They've been working at this now since the 80s when they began computerizing your credit. That's when it began. We watched a documentary about that last night. We need to finish the documentary this evening, actually. So there's a control system in place. I'm going to blow back out to the macrocosm here. And we are managed. You can look at the United States of America you can look at it as your country that your grandfather, my grandfather fought for. Many people in the audience may have fought for it, or the grandfather or fathers as well. But you can also look at it as a corporation, and it is a corporation. It is a machine that delivers a product to the world. And means have to be maintained. They have to be managed. That's just the fact of where it's at. That's the objective reality. I heard you praying, you know, with your drum, which is awesome, before the show here, and you kept saying love, forgiveness. I agree with that. Yesterday when we spoke, I mentioned to you that Alicia and I are a yin and a yang team. You know, I'm sort of the yang and she's the yin. She is a 25-year healer, aromatherapist, massage therapist, healer from way back, as was her grandmother. Me on the other side, I'm all Irish and French. It's all kind of war on my side, identifying the enemy, in the enemy, and then going after and crushing the enemy. Love and forgiveness is great, but when the enemy is trying to kill you, trying to rub you out, trying to rip fathers away from homes in certain demographics so the government can replace it, and, you know, you got to realize that you're being attacked, and you can't love and forgive your enemy just yet. Just like after death, there's a grieving cycle. Have you noticed that every time there's a mass shooting, within hours, there's a vigil? Hours now. So people are there with candles and signs and flowers. Why? Because they're trying to fast forward past the grieving process. There are steps to grieving. You know, there's disbelief. There's anger. There's bargaining, right? And then there's finally acceptance and forgiveness. But they've even hijacked the aftermath of their own mass shootings. They've scripted them to where they're just shooting everyone past all that. So it's a shortcut to thinking because they don't want you, and we can get into some of this stuff, into the de-occulting of the Uvalde shooting. I'll give you examples of what I'm talking about, because you begin to unravel their spell, their ritual. They don't want you doing that. They want you going straight to emotion, no logic, all emotion, and that way they can control. What they're doing is how do I say this? Back in the day, spells, ritual, ceremony was done with the elite, with the priest class, with the witches. They would go to the grove and do their spell work. They would go to the basements. They would go to their castles. They would do it in their own class, right? That's, although that still happens, they have utilized technology and expanded that. They have scaled up. They have scaled up their rituals, and they're now in full view of everybody, incorporating you and me into their spell work, utilizing the news and utilizing emotional triggers to pull you in. When you do spell work, okay, I practiced witchcraft for 30 years almost. Your energy is the gasoline. That is the fuel for it. Your emotion is the fuel for it, right? The catalyst, the candles, the objects, the paper, the thread, whatever, the flowers, whatever you're doing resonates at a frequency on Earth based on its molecular makeup. Those are the catalysts that begin, right? So you pull it down, your energy, you harness it, you focus it, and you send it out. That's a spell. Same thing with the mass shooting, okay? They put all the numerological and etymological and similitude work into in time and the physics of the earth, the date, the time, all that into the spell. They execute the spell by having some kid. By the way, have you noticed all these mass shooters with the, 99% of them are all males between the ages of 18 and 25, right? They all have no father in the home. They're all on serotonin reuptake inhibitors to our eyes. They're all being seen by a psychologist, okay? And the majority of them are hearing voices. That's voice is gold technology. That is the MO. That is the recipe. That is the narrative scripting. Whenever there's a black mass shooter or a Hispanic mass shooter, you rarely hear about it. It doesn't fit the MO. It doesn't fit that narrative. The mainstream media kills it, right? They want to push that narrative because that's building up to another spell they're going to execute, which is the angry Nazi white supremacist male in this country that they've been pushing since the Sedona Forum conference held by the McCain Institute last year was the first year that they did that up in Sedona at the Enchantment Resort. We covered that. They brought in NGOs from all over the world, started saying that there was this huge Nazi white supremacist movement in America and that it was taking over the hate groups online, and they were out there killing everybody willy-nilly, and they had to get a hold of it. And there's just no evidence for it, absolutely zero evidence for it. We went through the gun statistics earlier, and I could bring them up later. We can do a whole show about that. But that's the narrative that they're actually building up to. And, again, it's to fear and divide. If there was a problem in America with white people owning guns, you would know it. You would know it. I mean, white people are heavily armed with ARs, with machine guns, with every weapon you would ever imagine. If there was a problem with that, there would have a real problem, you would really know it because they'd be out there, you know, going.
It would be happening in every town and you would see it personally.
It's just not happening. You know, so, I mean, between me and all my buddies that have firearms, I think the tow hitches on our trucks have injured more people than all of our guns combined. You know, just running into them.
Right.
So
right. Now, what about the MK Ultra the theory about these shooters, because they're killing these shooters right away. So they move them out.
Why?
Tell us, please.
So Uvalde. There's no Salvador Ronaldo Ramos. He's dead, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
No confession.
No trial.
No trial.
No trial. No trial. No discovery. Boom. They get to script the narrative. Mm-hmm. They get to write the entire story, who he was, what he believed, who he is, and just boom. And just like with 9/11, right? The towers go down, and 30 days later we have the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act. Who wouldn't vote for the Patriot Act after 30 days after the largest, murder of Americans in American history on U.S. soil? You would have to be, you know, anti-American to not vote for the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act was the greatest reduction and stripping of our rights, constitutional rights, of any bill ever passed in the history of the United States to date. And it was because America was whipped up in this emotional frenzy, and no one believed in that moment, in that aftermath, that the American government, in conjunction with the Israeli government and the Saudi government, would have attempted to pull off the murder of 3,000-plus people in New York City. It's just, I mean, it's incredulity, you know? Like, you can't believe it. If you believe that, your entire reality, what your government is, what your country is, especially anyone who fought in the military, right? They have equity into the system. Especially if you have a government job or you're a teacher, you have equity into that system. That is your paycheck. If you have a government job, that is your paycheck, right? My grandfather did eight successful missions over Germany in a B-29, sorry, 13 in a B-29 bomber. You know, my family legacy has equity and history in this country. No one wanted to believe that our government could pull that off. But when you look at the Northwoods Project, where the government tried to take out the Joint Chiefs of Staff, it's been declassified now. They tried to pass a deal in the military where they were going to blow up a passenger airliner from Cuba to Miami and kill like 70-some-odd Americans to start a war with Cuba so we can go in there and get the high ground when they were negotiating with Russia for the missile placements, right? You have MK Ultra, the project where the government utilizes the scientific community to bend people's minds with drugs and psychological abuse. And if you think those ended for 1 second, they just changed the name. They got a new basement somewhere. The projects are still going on, you know. They're being integrated now with AI. They're being integrated with computer systems and also into the metaphysical realm, which AI is, into remote viewing. That's huge. I think Alicia has something to say here.
They do a lot of programming of your mind with the flicker rate on your TV, with sounds broadcast over your radio frequency. Sorry, I've been painting. And that programs the masses. MKUltra is not a program to program the masses. MKUltra is individualized programming. And it's a program that starts pretty young. It's not a program that you can take a 15-year-old and throw him into and get him to do something. This is something that starts very young for a child. There's drugs involved, there's physical pain and sexual abuse and mental torture and extreme terror involved in this program so that they can split the mind of the child. And they want to split the mind into several pieces. They want a handful of alters. This is where you hear about personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder. If they're an MKUltra survivor, they are a dissociative patient. And their front alter lives the daily life. Comes out and goes to school, learns how to drive a car, has a job, and the other alters that participated or were programmed and trained are waiting for their command or their cue. Sometimes those patients never receive it. They may not be the right personality. They may not be the right have received the right training for whatever job is coming up. And sometimes they never get activated into service. And sometimes they do get activated into service. And when they do, then you have things like this, like the shooter.
Go the other way. Go Britney Spears and her sex abuse.
Right. And you can – Britney Spears is another really good example of this. If you go on to her even if you go onto her Instagram, you can see she's a grown woman, and everything she does on there is very childlike. And one of the things that's part of her program is twirling in circles. So what does she do on Instagram? She videotapes herself twirling in circles. This keeps her programming in place.
Wow.
And it's really sad to see it. It's really sad. She suffers. These people suffer. Some people who go through these programs, they have breakout memories, and they start unraveling that things have happened to them. And that decommissions them. Sometimes they're murdered because they're decommissioned, you know, because they're decommissioning themselves because they start to remember what happened. And sometimes they have too much mental distress and they can't live on their own, or they can't function on their own because their mental state is unraveling so badly. They turn to drugs and alcohol, they commit suicide. Some people make it. Some people get really good therapy. Some people get really specialized therapy, and they are able to unravel it enough to function like as visibly normal to most people's eyes. There's a range, you know, but MKUltra is a very real type of programming, and
So let me ask you this. Do you think the majority of the mass shooters have been under MKUltra?
Absolutely. Okay. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Or a version of it. And keep in mind, MKUltra was declassified in the 80s? I think 80s, and it's still not completely declassified in terms of the information they got.
It was declassified, but all the documents were marked out.
Yeah.
So there was all the documents were blacked out.
Yeah. So, you know, these projects, they morph, they change, they evolve. Nothing is static. The only thing that's constant is change in this world. By the time we figure out what they're doing, they're onto other technology. Right now, I don't know if you're aware, but I'm a lead investigator on the death of a man by the name of Isaac Cappy. Isaac Cappy was a Hollywood whistleblower who came out in 2018 and said that Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, Seth Green, Oprah, and a few others were, pedophiles, child sex trafficking individuals. And he listed a whole bunch of other people, including, I think, Marilyn Manson, and all down the board. He died. He died in Belmont, Arizona. They said he committed suicide up a 22-foot bridge. And Alicia was the last person to spend time with him. It was Alicia's friend. We're very close to this investigation. He was hearing music. He was hearing voices. Alicia was with him in a vehicle, and she heard the voices. I gave a firsthand account of what happened. V2K is called voice-to-skull technology. It was played around first in the 60s, worked in the 70s. There's over 100 and some odd patents on it. Type in V2K or voice-to-skull technology. It's a microwave technology, not too different from 5G, actually. It's a wave. It's a band on the 5G spectrum. And it's they basically, right now, my earphones, right, when you speak or anything comes through them, it goes through my ear canal into my eardrum, and it vibrates. And it goes into my inner ear and translates into sound, okay? Well, V2K operates by shooting a microwave beam at somebody with the information embedded in that microwave, and your head is a perfect receiver. It's solid, right? It's got a skull on the outside. It's wet and mushy on the inside. It resonates. It's the perfect size. It's a perfect antenna. And they basically just shoot words, music, songs, recordings at you.
It's primarily focused at the occipital bones in the back of your head, so behind your ear, kind of down low in the back. And it bounces off of one and then bounces off of the other, and it focuses the sound into the center of your brain. So when you hear this sound, you can't hear anything else. It's inside of you, and it's extremely loud, and it's extremely distracting. When I heard it in the car with my friend Isaac, it was so loud that it was in my bones. You've probably been to a concert where the music and you hear some distortion, and when you get out of the concert, your ears kind of ring and things sound distorted for a couple days. This isn't that kind of sound. It's so crisp and so clear that you can't, there's no distortion to it. No distortion.
We've got to take a break. This is just so fascinating. And I want everybody to just take a deep breath while we're on the break. Take some deep breathing, because I'm sure some of this information might be shocking, unbelievable, conspiracy theory type stuff. So we've got some questions when we come back. I see Mama AZ's hand is up, and our executive producer wants to ask a question. So thank you so much for sharing all this deep rabbit hole knowledge that very few people go to. This is the reality, that we're hearing things that most people are only sitting in front of CNN news and taking in all the garbage that they give. And then when we hear things like this, oh, no, that can't be true. That's just conspiracy theory. Well, when we come back, we're going to continue down the rabbit hole. Naima Latif will give us some commercials at this point, so stick and stay. And Mommy Z, when we come back, we'll open your mic after Naima asks her question. So thank you, everybody. Take a deep breath. Hold on to your hats and your seats. It's going to get rocky probably from here on.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
And our executive producer is in the Female Solution studio, and she has a question according to her note here. Go ahead, Naima Latif.
Yes. Well, it's been quite intriguing listening to your guests, and I appreciate the information that they're sharing. Now, what tends to happen is that people get afraid and start feeling like victims if they don't know how to counteract what they're hearing. So my question is, how do we help people feel empowered even though these things are happening, and even though we are we know that things are being planned behind our backs? But let's say if people were to not listen to their devices, to ignore the news, and to not respond with the known anger and fear that they're expected to respond to, then none of those things that are being done would have any impact, right? So how do we help people take back their power?
Well, that's an awesome question. That's a huge question. And probably the most relevant question we could have asked tonight. Thank you. The answer is huge, and there's not a simple answer to that. The fact is, we are in the machine. Like Alicia was saying, you can't access or pay your bills without this now. This listens now, attracts you now. The news is co-opted by the elite. It's the all the news, all the magazines, all the books, all the Hollywood and the TV is all controlled, all the news by six corporations. All you know, and it's not a huge conspiracy. You don't have to control every person. You control the main editor, and you build a system that simply rewards the stories that you want, and boom, the system is in place. How do you not react, and how do you respond to it? You get a bottle of wine and go to your neighbor's house and invite them over for dinner. You have more community gardens. You get off your devices more and into the churches or wherever your community happens to be. You talk there with them. You go to the pub and you plan a revolution like our founding fathers did. By revolution, I mean you take back your local government. It's local, 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 local. Start with your school boards. Start with your dog catcher. Start with the mayor, right? There's no, in my world, although we're living in this right-left paradigm, there is no right-left paradigm. I understand personally that Donald J. Trump is a control mechanism for the right, the conservative base, while currently Biden is representing the Democrat control variable, and we're being played back and forth. You need to look at it in terms of freedom and tyranny, and you vote on the issue. And does this person, do they represent freedom? Are they going to give me opportunity and freedom, or are they going to take away opportunity and freedom? Period. I believe it's that simple. You vote for the person that's going to give you the most freedom, and freedom is opportunity. Get away from these issues that are limiting based on fear, i.e. gun control. Anytime with the tax crap, all the tax stuff, usually Democrats want to raise, but the first George Bush rose that much taxes. There's been conservative Reagan, he cut at one point, but raised at another. You tax more money for the government and less for you is not good. Period. End of story. Don't look for the government to give you a job. Don't look for the government to give you anything. Look for them to level the playing field and just back up and give you the room to do your best. You'll bloom there, and you'll have freedom there. That's how I see it. But we do live in a world where there are demons. There are demons on this earth, and they are wreaking terror and havoc. And when something like Uvalde happens, or something like who was that guy that went to the subway? Was it New York or Chicago? Where was he at? Where he started shooting people? That happened to be a black guy. Who cares? He was still a government op, and it was meant to radicalize the extreme you know, angry, you know, Nazi faction, white supremacist faction, to get a reaction out of them so that they come and say, oh, look, there's Nazis. It is all designed to, and by the way, if you notice in that shooting, everyone got shot in the legs. No one got shot in the torso. No one died in that.
In close range,
emptying two magazines into a subway car, people got shot in the leg. That whole thing was staged beyond belief. And when you start to look at that, like, what's happening here? You know, start asking questions, and you realize that I'm being played against my fellow Americans. And no doubt some of these shootings are organic. They do happen, and I think that's where the forgiveness comes in. You know, you don't base an entire demographic or within America on the actions of one person. You simply can't do that. But, you know, it's going to be hard. We have to take back our government, and we have to stop with the diversion. Like, Disney, I don't support anything Disney does. We don't give a dime to Disney. We don't go to movies anymore. I don't support Hollywood at all, period. Netflix, done. Starbucks, gone. I know where they put their money. I know what they do. And I don't support these companies that also move, you know, these huge corporations are moving towards taking away your rights. So this cancel culture is probably the scariest thing I've seen come down the pike, because I was personally affected, and I was screaming at Donald J. Trump 2016, you know, writing emails and letters saying, you know, people are being censored all over. At that time, it was the right. They were being censored all over the place on YouTube and Facebook. And I was screaming, Trump, you got to get a hold of the censoring of all of these ideas that people are having. You can't have censorship in America. And fortunately, all the big tech is owned by the left. And the left at that time, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all the way down, canceled anybody who was pro-Trump or pro-conservative, whatever, and they absolutely canceled them. And if you think you go on YouTube and you're getting a fair cross-section of what's going on, if you don't understand that certain topics are completely blacklisted while other topics are pushed, and certain people who click on you and subscribe aren't shown, okay, you really don't understand what's going on. Everything is fed to you, and you're kept in a bubble of your own. Get out of your bubble, too, right? If I'm on Twitter, I know Twitter feeds me people who agree with me for the most part. I know they do that to make me think that everyone thinks the way that I do. They don't, right? I welcome conversation, debate, civil debate with people. Like, here, you know, here's what I think, and here's why I think it. What do you think? Give me another perspective on it, you know? That's how we grow. Or as the Bible says, that men need men to sharpen themselves on. I'd add women to that as well. I think God meant men and women at that point. But we have to keep cool. We have to think. And whereas, here's the yin and the yang again, feelings are important. They need to be validated. At the same time, you have to have your critical thinking, and you have to be willing and able to confront the evil for what it is, and grow through your own. You need to be able to grow through your own belief system when you find a truth that is truer. You know, this is why I always say pencils have erasers. If you thought something for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, and you realize it's wrong, at that moment, scrap it and choose what's right and move forward in truth. So many people are arguing their ego. Adolf Hitler said it's easier to convince someone of a lie than to convince them they've been lied to. Why? Because you're fighting their ego, right? They believe that lie for 5 years, right? And then that's wrapped up with their intelligence and all the equity they have, the arguments they've had with their family and friends and everything else. They don't want to be wrong. They don't want to look dumb. So they stick to it. And they will find the facts that they believe will validate it, and they'll surround themselves with friends and peers that will validate it, and they'll isolate themselves in that bubble regardless of whether it's true or not. and they won't grow past it. And that's how we're kept in bondage right now. You're surrounded through social media and your peers, and sometimes your church. My God, the corruption in the churches. I'm sure you guys may have covered this on your show. You talk about religion, the corruption in the churches, even the legitimate churches that aren't raping kids and trafficking children. The real churches are keeping you in a mental prison and pushing certain candidates, and certain political ideals when they should just be pushing spirituality. But that may be obtuse answer there for you, but that's the best I can do with that. That's kind of all my thoughts on that. I hope I was clear enough.
Okay, we're going to go to Mama AZ. She's had her hand up since the beginning. I know she wants to greet you and ask a question. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Greetings. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Speak up. Yes. Go ahead.
All right. I got my headphones on. Greetings, family. Greetings, Corey. Greetings, Alicia. I do not... Greetings. I love you guys. This show, Dr. V, I like to dedicate to my family, the Paris family down there in Phoenix, Arizona, and also Oklahoma, Tulsa, and Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Now, let me get to the point. Like Brother Harris said last night, Eddie Harris out of Chicago, numbers are everything, and we are in the age of Aquarius. Now, Tucson, and I know you know this, Corey, was aligned in the age, in the Aquarian, under the sign of Aquarius. I know you know that, but let me share this. When Alicia, I've been wanting to meet Alicia, it seems like a century ago. She came on the 31st of May around high noon. That's grand entry time, people. That's 12 o'clock. And she came on a 6. All right. Today, you're having this show with Corey and Alicia. It adds up to an 8. Those two numbers are Reverend A.A. Allen, Reverend Asa Alonzo Allen, who is the creator of Miracle Valley, Arizona. This is very, very important, family. I want you to listen to this. I have been getting messages since 2009. And then when you, Dr. V, turned me on to Zachary Hubbard over there in that Seattle, Washington, he basically is a gematria person, but he does sports. The next thing I knew, then Brother Harris came into the picture, Eddie Harris. And then Corey Daniels by way of another person who does eights. Again, Reverend Asa Allen, one of his numbers is an 8. Okay, I heard about Corey Daniels from this this YouTube video called Cobra. That's all that I used to use with Cobra CB's radios way back in the day. Breaker 19, CB radios, Cobra. And then I researched Corey. Do you know Corey gave me the information about where my child entered into my womb, my gate, which happened to be on the 33rd degree parallel in Phoenix, Arizona, on East Van Buren, right across the street from Phoenix Union High School. It has to do with Masonic. Then he also shared the information about the Veterans Park there in Phoenix. I nearly fell over all the things that he was saying. Not only that, Dr. V, family, when I was coming back from Winslow, Arizona, that bridge, that Cappy, supposedly what happened, they can tell you more about it. I was put on notice about that, and then I turned the thing on, and there was Corey investigating this. And the reason that I'm bringing up Kathy again, I want you to investigate this, because Reverend A.A. Allen of Miracle Valley reached out to me a long time ago and asked me to reach out to Corey Daniel because of his knowledge about deciphering the masonry and all of this business and the child trafficking and the involvement with Department of Social Services and all that they do with all of the bases. I'm bringing this up, okay, because of what is getting ready to unfold. Now, there was another gentleman, a young man, who crossed himself over, who is connected to that church. His parents run that church or that temple there in Miracle Valley. When he drove himself into the truck to kill himself 2 years ago on Highway 92 in Miracle Valley, Arizona, my lights in my apartment blew out, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. He came to me and said, "You must speak up about the trafficking and the drugs, and don't be afraid, because there's something that is not right here in Miracle Valley, Arizona, and other places." That young man happens to be named Mark Bentoncourt. He can find, you can find the information, family, on the contraption, on the internet. The reason that I'm telling you this is because my dad told me earlier about you, Corey Daniel, and he said to me that you're on point. Matter of fact, Corey's childhood growing up, family, he lived in this almost the same neighborhood that I did in South Phoenix. And he, if he wants to, he can tell you about this. I have been tracking everything that I could with the information with Cappy, with everybody, even with the shootout there in Miracle Valley. It's something to all of this. And the people who were involved in the shootout, they came from where? From Chicago. The people there, the family, the children, they're there, Corey, in Harvey, Illinois, as we speak, from Miracle Valley, Arizona. And something is getting ready to happen, and it all connects with the trafficking, with the DES, with the military installations, and everything. I don't know what you and Alicia know, but I do know, damn it, that you're on point. I know. Wait, go ahead. I'll be quiet.
Everything we know publicly due to safety, but I can tell you we do have, not our team, but we do have people we work with, and there is several teams of people working the border south of Tucson right now, tracking the children that are coming over the border unaccompanied. They're going into a federal holding facility, and they are being shipped up via bus to the Phoenix area, where they are held for 3 days, 72 hours, and then they are moved across the country via airplane and bus to a destination of their choice. Early on in the deal last year, we had about 700 to 1,000 a day, I believe, they were tracking, and 1,000 kids. I'm talking like between the ages of like 7 to 15, 16. Were moved over to a ranch, a local ranch to be housed, and then from the ranch to California to an undisclosed place, okay? I know the company doing it. I know the company in charge. It's a legitimate transportation company that used to be based in Scottsdale that's now moved to Texas a few years ago. There's another gentleman who has a government contract for these facilities. He buys old hotels in the Phoenix area. He transfers them, he redoes them into these facilities that can hold their way stations for refugees. He says he's doing a service to his people. I think his name is Juan Salazar, Jose Salazar, something like that. Jose Salazar. You can look him up. He's a you love them or you hate them. Some people don't like them right now. But what we've done is we've taken the child trafficking out of, you know, the cartel moving across. And basically a deal was made with the U.S. government saying we're going to use the cartel and they're going to move these kids up to the border. We're going to flood you with them unaccompanied. They're going to claim refugee status and you have to take them in. Trump said no. Trump had them pushed, and I'm not defending Trump, so you know, don't mule up on me here. But Trump said no. He had the stay in Mexico plan where they couldn't get across the border. And if the cartel knew the kids couldn't get across the border, they wouldn't bother to bring them up. There's no money in it, right? So that prevented the child trafficking, as well as the other adults. And don't forget about the adults that are trafficked for sex and labor. First of all, trafficking, 25% of it is sexual, 75% is labor, slave labor, modern-day slave labor, okay? That's what's taking place in Arizona if you're not from here. I'm a professional guide by trade, and people come in and they, you know, they have all their ideas about what's going on with the child trafficking and the human trafficking here. You don't know if you don't live here. You don't know about the beheadings. You don't know about the rape trees. You don't know about the drop houses and where they'll bring some girl over who's 15 years old and her brother will pick her up, and but the price doubles or triples. And then they say, you owe $6,000 for your sister now. If we don't have it in 5 days, we're going to work her until it's all worked off. And then they prostitute her out. That's what's going on here. The news makes it look like, CNN makes it look like that every person at the border is a family ready to just, you know, get away from the ravages of poverty and be an American. No, there is a business being conducted by the cartel here. The U.S. government is working in concert with them. And your taxpayer dollars are going to fund right now this child trafficking. Child trafficking looks a lot like immigration right now, okay? If that's news to you, I hope that shocks you. I hope that shocks you into reality, because that's what's going on in Arizona. That's what's going on in Texas. That's what's going on in parts of New Mexico, but primarily Texas and Arizona.
Well, you know, and Chicago, Chicago, I've heard many, many reports that Chicago is like a central operating place for sex for trafficking. So let's just say it's in every state in the United States. Let's not be naive about this and realize.
Ohio is one of the worst.
Ohio? Yeah.
Ohio is one of the absolute worst. We
yeah.
have contacts in Ohio. The way that the freeway systems line up there, it's a natural hub. And we had a person we worked with for 2 years. It's bad. I don't want to get into it, but it's one of the worst places. That's where people go to actually indulge. That's where the crimes are taking place, quite a few of them in Ohio. You know, we can get into the occulting of the Uvalde if you want to. I have some of that stuff to give an example about how this ritual is scripted into modern-day shootings, if anyone's curious about that, or we can do questions or whatever you want.
Well, let me take our last break. I don't know. I didn't get a text from Naima. So I'll just
How
play.
Long do we have for the...
We've got another 20 minutes or so. I'm going to play one commercial or a couple of commercials, I guess. Our last break, I don't know where Naima is. So I'll just take one more break.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jodi Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
All right, I'm going to let Naima take over.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
And we're back, and we've been just talking about evil with a D in front of it, which spells devil. And it's obvious to us, I hope, by now that it's in every state of the United States, and if not every other country in the world, that we have this energy of child trafficking going on that needs to be resolved, dissolved, destroyed. And so that's what this show is really all about. Number one, becoming aware of this situation. And, you know, Corey, when I'm drumming about love and forgiveness, it's mostly for self. Because if we don't know how to love and forgive ourselves, we can't move forward in the power that you're talking about tonight to break down this evil with a D in front of it. We have the power, but some people are so naive and so ignorant. Oh, look at what happened in Uvalde. Oh, we need to take away the guns, blah, 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 blah. And you walk in and you're walking around with these zombies still wearing masks. And, you know, where are we going? So let's just move forward. Go ahead. You said something about de-occulting.
Yeah.
What does that mean when you say you want to de-occult Uvalde?
De-occulting, yeah. We'll get that. Real quick before I hit that, I had a real problem forgiving myself for years and years.
Yeah.
We all have personal things in life.
Yeah.
And I was completely ineffective. I was completely subservient to a system, to my job, to all kinds of things. And when I finally took back my own power and said, you know, I made a mistake. Pencils have erasers. We moved. When I was able to do that, that's when I came into my own as a man. I mean, I wasn't a man at, you know, at 18. Most men rarely are. You know, you're a man when you take back your power and you begin thinking for yourself and doing really what's right and being someone who can be relied upon and counted upon, you know, in this world. That's where men shine. Okay, let's get into this here. I think I can probably even share my screen here. Oh, wait, we're not on. This is a podcast, right?
Right.
This is a video.
Yeah. Well, it's
right.
StreamYard. I don't know if you can share.
Okay, well, I'll just read it because they can't see anyway. But, okay, the shooter's name, okay, we're going to go through and break down this ritual, this spell. When you guys watching CNN hear there's a guy named Salvador Ronaldo Ramos, right? Now he'd like to use the three names for killers, right? I don't know why that is, but they do. Let's break down the name. Let's just start with, that's where I start with, okay? Salvador means savior. Ronaldo means fame, right? The etymology. And Ramos means a branch or a bough, okay? The shooter's name could be interpreted to mean a few things. A savior who achieved fame by reaching out with a branch. Perhaps of peace? No. Two, a famous savior who wields a branch. Three, a famous savior who wields a wand. Okay? That's kind of what that name means. However, when you know the etymology for the word bow, you come up with another meaning altogether. From Middle English, bow means main branch or limb of a person or animal, specifically an arm or a shoulder. But more interestingly, figuratively, a bow is used in Christianity to represent a Christian cross. but as one word refers to a branch that grows from the main trunk of a tree, another more common usage is to represent offspring or descendants. So in the old days, bow was used as a synonym for the offspring or descendants. So when you look at that name again, the name could mean the descendant of a famous savior, a famous savior who will be crucified or sacrificed, the arm or force utilized by a famous savior, or a savior who will achieve fame through sacrifice. That's what the name could mean interpretively. So Uvalde, Texas, right? Uvalde is interesting. The guy who founded Uvalde, it was originally known as Encina, Texas, 1856. The county was organized. It was later, Uvalde is the name of the original Juan de Uvalde, U-G-A-L-D-E, G is the name in Spanish. And back then, Texas had a law that said that the capital of a county had to be the same name as the county name. So Encina turned to Uvalde. That's where it came. The word Uvalde means a mild or light-colored honey. We're going to get into that in one second here. The numerology. The shooting took place on the 24th of May. The 24th of May is the 144th day of the year. When you get to 144,000, the chosen ones, right? That specifically, right, that's an Old Testament number. 144 is, supports Christ energy. Okay, when you talk about, the 144 is described, I think, twice, or actually described three times, four times? One, two, three, I found four. Four times in the Bible, it's in Revelation, but it's referred to in Daniel and some other ones as well, I believe it's Daniel. I could be mistaken. Some of you probably know your Bible out there better than I do. But it references the chosen ones after Christ comes back in Revelation, right, after that are going to be taken back up. That's the 144. So without referring to Christ, it refers Christ or what's going to happen in the aftermath of that, which I find very interesting. 144 is also the 12th Fibonacci sequence number. If you know do you guys know what the Fibonacci sequence is? Everyone know what that is out there?
No, explain that briefly.
Okay, the Fibonacci sequence is a sequence of numbers that I don't know my heart here, but it's Fibonacci. Fibonacci sequence. Where's the Fibonacci sequence? There you go. Fibonacci number sequence. Here you go. It is basically a number sequence that represents the plotting of the golden ratio or the golden rectangle. And it goes like this. 0 plus 1 is 1. Then you go back and you add the last two numbers. 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 1 is 3. 3 plus 2 is 5. 5 plus 3 is 8. 8 plus 5 is 13. 13 plus 8 is 21. 21 plus 13 is 34. 34 is 21 is 55. And on and on and on. You get up to 144. That's the 12th number, okay? When you take this number sequence and you plot it onto a graph, you end up with a spiral. That spiral is known as the golden ratio. When you realize that all flowers open up in the golden ratio, all things divide, cellular is the golden ratio, the golden spiral, the way that the sun moves through the universe and the planets spin around the sun as it moves is the golden ratio spiral. The light switch. Look up. Everyone listens right now. Look up. Find the light switch in your room. That is a 3x5 ratio, not inch, 3x5 ratio switch, okay? 3x5 is pleasing to the human eye, and that is the Fibonacci's plotted out there. Your credit cards are 3x5 ratio. Your length of your hand to your forearm is 3x5 ratio. Beauty is registered by 3-5 ratios within the human face, and that is the unmanipulated, undeteriorated DNA sequence. So the more attractive someone is, the more unlikely they are to have genetic defects. So beauty is a direct indicator of health, of genetic health. Okay, so when you understand these ancient principles of numerology, you know, okay, so anyway, that being said, 144 is the 12th Fibonacci sequence, okay, number. When you get into Christ and Christ energy numerology, you'll realize there is the 12 and the 1, okay? It's always the 12 and the 1. Christ had 12 disciples, right? The 12 patriarchs from Shem. Jesus had 12 apostles. Book of Revelation, 12 gates are guarded by 12 angels. Solomon's throne has 6 steps leading up, right, and 6 steps, the other steps were 12 total. The 12 administrators of the Solomon, it goes on and on and on, 12, 12, 12, 12. Anytime 12 loaves of permanent offerings at the golden table, 12 loaves of bread were broken by Jesus, you have the 12 and the 1. And why is that? Because Christianity is a solar religion in this new age. The sun, the 1, the S-O-N, right, is the S-U-N. The S-U-N passes in its yearly cycle through 12 constellations. And it spends 30 days transferring through that constellation and 3 days transferring through the cusp. So for 33 days total, the sun travels through a constellation. Jesus was 33 when he died. He dies for 72 hours or 3 days. The sun moves 22.5 degrees to the south every year. And on the 21st, it sets. And for 3 days, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, to the human eye, you cannot see the sun move. On the 25th, the sun begins to rise to move towards its azimuth again to June 21st, which is the summer solstice. So the sun, the S-U-N, literally travels down and dies for 72 hours a year before it is reborn on December 25th, which is Christ's birthday, Christmas, right? You can see how the old solar religion was repackaged, remarketed, and redeployed into a new age put together by Constantine, right? And one Frank Francis Bacon, who was a 33rd degree Spanish Rite, or Scottish Rite Freemason at that time. That's who compiled the Old Testament in conjunction. So you have a solar religion that's as old as Sumeria and Egypt and Greece and Rome and the gods of Mithra and Dionysus and all the rest. They've just been reinvented for each new age that's come along. Ours is called Christianity. And this, if you can couch that for 1 second and get past that, you'll realize that the matrix we're working in is the same matrix energetically that's been here since Sumeria and Egypt. It's the same, you know, the sun sets every day, right? You had Horus and Set. Horus was the god during the day. Set was the god at night. The sun sets every night. There's a reason why the sun sets, S-E-T. It's the Egyptian god Set, okay? When you look at the numerology in the Bible, you start realizing that it is physics. It's the knowledge of the energy of the earth cooked into parables and allegories that are easily to remember. And if you give it, like any other piece of knowledge, you can give it to somebody and they can read the exoteric, the external, the exoteric knowledge of the parable that Jesus taught, which were all wonderful. They're universal. They're great. If you take Jesus as a real person, man, great. Live by him. Follow the red words in the Bible. You'll have a great life, and that's what we all need to do. However, those truths are universal and were there prior. If you know the Ten Commandments came from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, you'll be ahead of the rest of the group here because there's a whole lot more than the original Ten Commandments. You go read the Egyptian Book of the Dead, I forget what book it is, 137, I think, somewhere in there, and it lists like I think there's 40 or 50 of them, or maybe there's 72 of them. But anyway, 12 and 1, 12 and 1, 12 and 1 is a constant theme within the Bible for this reason, and we see it cooked into here. The 144, the 144th day of the year of the shooting. Then Ramos had 60 magazines, right? He had 60, did you watch that? He had 60 magazines of ammunition for his rifle.
60? How did they come up with that number?
Well, there were 58 magazines found at the scene between his car and the backpack and on him, right? And he had 2 at home. That's 60.
Oh wow! And
which
they put.
That was interesting because I had a friend. I don't own any AR-15 weapons platforms. I have a lot of friends and brothers that do though. And I said, bro, do me a favor, load up a 30-round magazine and weigh it for me. He's like, it's 1 pound, 1.1 ounce. Why? I told him what I was doing. He's like, okay, times it by 60, we got roughly 66 pounds. Okay, 66 pounds of ammunition he took with him. By the way, 66 is 33 twice. 66 also plays in another part of this as well. We can't get into it tonight. But when you realize that we are in a base 60 time system, all right, did you guys know about time and how time is calculated? About Babylon and why we're in a base 60 time system? If you go, we're on Babylonian time. Okay, the base 60 is integers divisible by 60. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15, 20, and 30. Okay, all of our economics, our currency, our time, those are the divisors that we use. Okay, that's a base 60 system. Before that, they had a base 10 system based on the 10 fingers. When you realize we're on Babylonian base 60 time, and the guy brought 60 magazines, who brings 60 magazines to a shooting? You can't carry them. I talked to my buddy, the Las Vegas PD. He's like, dude, when I go into a situation and I'm going to take my AR-15 out of my car, out of my unit, and charge into a Circle K or a 7-Eleven, I'm bringing 3 extra magazines, 1 in the gun, maybe 4 tops. That's all we ever carry. No one carries, even SWAT carries no more than 4 magazines. That's insane. You can't carry it. It's a hindrance at that point, and you just don't need that many with tactics. The kid brought 60. That's numerical queuing, okay? What else here?
So are you saying that he really did not have 60, or they're saying that that's only all they're reporting he had 60, but he really didn't have 60?
He brought 60.
Okay.
He had 2 at home. He brought 58 of them. I forget how many were in the car. I got the – here you go. Magazines. Where's your 60? I forget. He talked about the magazines. 58 magazines. 11 were inside, 3 on his body. One was on the ground, and 31 were in a backpack. That's how they broke it down, which is interesting because never have I heard in the aftermath of a mass shooting the head of the Department of Public Safety for Texas come out and said, there's a total of 58 magazines, 11 inside, 3 on the body, 32 outside, 1 on the ground. 1,657 rounds were shot, 315 in the school, 142 spent, 173 live, 922 outside, 22 spent, 900 live. I have never heard them break down the count of the bullets and cartridges spent, unspent in the magazine in my life, even at the Vegas shooting, which is a complete attack, terrorist on U.S. soil. But when I heard him rattling off numbers, anytime I hear these people rally off numbers, I'm like, okay, we got ritual scripting here. Let's just de-occult this, right? He went in, he shot up rooms 111 and 112. 111 and 112. That comes out to 223. Well, 223 mirrored is 322, or March 22nd. That is the skull and bones number.
Wow.
Google skull and bones 322, and right there. You see that? I believe I found that in the death of Nipsey Hussle. I found that in the last shooting I covered. You see 322 all over the place. I found 322 in the shooting of Alec Baldwin with that sacrifice on the set there in New Mexico. They got, you know, whatever. Genesis 322 says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, you know, I think one of the most creepiest aspects is the long-scale harmonic resonance of this whole entire shooting. And I'm trying to sum this up. I know we only got a few minutes here. That's why I'm talking so fast. But do you guys remember a little shooting called Columbine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was the first time a school was shot up in U.S. history, right? That was like – that was the big one. That shocked America. One of the perpetrators was Eric Harris. Date of birth, April 9th, 1981. Salvador Ramos, the Uvalde shooter, May 16th, 2004. That's a difference of 277 months between their birth dates, okay? They were born 277 months apart. Well, the Columbine High School shooting, April 4th, 1999, and the Uvalde Robb Elementary School shooting, May 24th, 2022, that's a difference of exactly 277 months. again. So the difference between the birth dates of the shooters of Columbine and Uvalde is 277 months. 277 months, 8 days. The difference in the dates between the shootings of Columbine and Uvalde are 277 months and 5 days. Nearly identical. That does not happen. Numerically, statistically, it does not happen.
No coincidence,
no.
Huh?
No. Yeah, 277 is, if you take the 277 prime number, it's 1,787. Oh, 1,787? Well, 1,787 on May 4th, 1787, exactly 277 years ago, was when the New York, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, May 24th, 1787, New York, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, had a majority of their delegates present. New Jersey expected to reach a quorum the next day. The very next day was the beginning of the Constitutional Convention for these United States of America. The Constitutional Convention took place between May 25th and September 17th. So what we're seeing is a date of a shooting that has the 277 prime number, and it long-term factors into when you go into the founding of this nation and our very Constitution. The fact they're trying to change the Constitution and take away our firearms, this is a spell. This is a ritual. All of this is encoded in the numbers that you guys read in the paper, the things that those talking heads on CNN, those devils, those demons are incorporating you into their ritual, into their spell. You're assimilating that information, that knowledge, whether you know it or not. You are participating in this ritual. If you are not thinking clearly, if you are bypassing your critical thinking skills and going straight to emotion, you have a responsibility and a duty as an American to understand what the hell you're listening to. To not be distracted by Dancing with the Stars, to not be distracted by hate, to not be distracted with these petty fights and garbage that they throw at you. This is what's going on, people. They're conducting witchcraft, full-on, high magic, not lower magic, not witchcraft, high magic sorcery is taking place in the realm of physics in front of you, and you guys call it the news. It is a ritual.
Well, Corey, we're going to have a part two. So I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to ask you to come back, especially if in the next 7 days, if we have another event like Uvalde. Oh, my goodness. Surprise, surprise. Would you be willing to come back next Sunday and do a part two?
If I have the time, and I should at this point, I'm not, I think I'm. I don't like to schedule myself to too many things. But
yeah, just think about it, because this is some very important information, and I hope that everyone listening will forever stop looking at CNN News. I had someone say that, oh, well, I watch the news and then I analyze it. No, you don't. Not at this level, you don't, because
you said,
we're being hypnotized with numbers. And event, we have no, see, I'm sure I had no idea that all this was behind what we have seen.
We've gotten into about not even half of what the Uvalde, we don't have time to cover all of it.
Yeah, that's why I hope you, let's connect then during the week, and I'll see how your schedule's going, because I think it would be great if you could keep us up to date on this level of thinking. This level of programming that's going on, CNN and ABC, CBS. You know what I watched? When the Uvalde showed up on my phone, I looked at all the major networks reporting the same damn thing about the shooting. And I thought, oh, they've got a script going here. So I'm getting used to this stuff. And that's why I don't even bother. Yeah. I don't even bother.
In spiritual terms, it's called a mantra. Yes.
Thank you. Mantra.
Website, it's all free. I don't charge. It's thephoenixenigma.com, and they can look at the other occult things of all the other mass shootings I've done as well. It's totally free. Go check it out.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'll be Thank you so much, and love to both you and Alicia. We really appreciate this capital T Truth Report and the rabbit hole experience. I've been, for the last 2 years, I've gotten deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole, and now it's like I don't even need to listen about monkeypox and all that bullshit. So and that's what happens. If you listen to this level of truth and you know what's really going on, when they present the new propaganda, you're like, oh, here we go again, another drama show.
A
cult. A
lot of people can't take this level of truth. A lot of people will glitch out on you, and they will turn away, and they will accept the fuzzy reality and the fuzzy cup, ball, and chain, because they've been conditioned through a life of accepting it, and it's so hard to engage with this reality that truly is. Most people just won't do it.
Absolutely. So we can thank you to the universe for putting us all together. We say thank us, United Spirits coming together to hear truth on another level. And I hope everybody will kind of go home, take a deep breath, turn off the TV forever of seeing. In fact, just throw your TV out. We really don't need the TV. Forever. I'm with you on that one. And tomorrow, you got to join us tomorrow at our Monday Morning Mindfulness on the Female Solution, Fatherhood and Masculinity. Why is it disappearing? And after watching a trailer of a documentary called What is a Woman, and a woman had the nerve to say, well, a woman is someone who has a penis. And I'm like, what? What did she just say? It's like the story gets more bizarre every day. So let's tune in tomorrow for a good
on behalf of our team of radio hosts,
Alpha Male.
In today's discussion,
and to our global
family. And mine is Goddess Female. I'll take Goddess Female. Hey, we're going to the next level. All right, so we'll see you again. Thank you again, both of you. Have a great week. And we're going to say thank you to our global family now.
Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kunyong. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Madasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Shalom. Love you all. Have a great week. And see you tomorrow morning on The Female Solution. Have a good evening out there in Phoenix.